He's Jason Leisure. I'm Patrick Finley. Jason, coming up, we will talk about Sunday's Bears game against the Panthers, what it means for them in the short term, and how intertwined the two franchises are in, or are big picture. That and more coming up on Hallis and Dream. Jason, the Bears have the Panthers coming up on Sunday. It's a game they need to win, obviously, because the Panthers are a mess. The Panthers are a mess in part because of what Ryan Poles did to them a year ago, March. To me, that's as compelling as anything that's going to happen on the field Sunday.
It's funny when you talk about the phrase must-win games. It's usually because of what point in the year it is. Home game against Carolina is a must-win.
Right.
No matter when it is. Mm-hmm. Week 5, week 13, whatever. Like, you cannot blow a game like that against, Pat, the disaster franchise in the league? The... Is that it?
I don't know. As long as the Browns still exist, it's hard to argue something else.
I love that the Browns are paying the price for their welcoming Deshaun Watson into their building. But no, I mean, they're more of a functional organization than the Panthers. The Panthers are, and you know, because you and I have talked about it this week. The Panthers are ready to burn it down like every week. Let's bench the quarterback. Let's fire the coach. Let's change the play caller. Let's fire the GM, and. The Bears did well to take advantage of that. Not to give myself credit, but to like make a broader point here. I remember when they traded the number one pick to Carolina. I was not pleased from, you know, as someone who evaluates the Bears, that they traded all the way back to 9.
Right.
I wanted them to trade with the Colts, which would have put them at 4, which would have put them pretty close, I thought, to being able to get maybe Will Anderson or Paris Johnson Jr., for the left tackle from Ohio State. But I did think at the time, this is a good team to trade with.
And it's
this is a good team to trade with.
Because I did not, because they had finished the season so strong, the Panthers had the year before, that there was a thought. I thought they'd be have the 12th pick.
Was that when Cam Newton came back?
It was. DJ Moore was strong at the end. They had a little Sam Darnold run where Darnold, do you remember Darnold ran for more touchdowns than any other quarterback in football for a month? Yeah, and you were all over this. You thought that they were on the verge of a meltdown. I thought that they were more of a functional operation.
They're so poorly run.
They are. They're poorly run. They have an owner who is impatient. They have a first-year head coach this year after hiring Frank Reich and running him out of town, replacing him with Chris Tabor, which is delightful for us, but probably not for them. Thomas Brown was their offensive coordinator. Then he wasn't. Then he was again. This is, and I think I'll write about this at some point this week, this is the antithesis of what the Bears spent the offseason telling you they were going for, which was stability, which was
continuity.
GM stays the same. Head coach stays the same. You bring in a whole new offensive coordinator, and there are growing pains that come with that. But they thought that what was best for their young quarterback was familiarity, kind of across the franchise. The Panthers decided what was best for their young quarterback was starting over. And then after two games of that, they went, no, you're done. And they just have him sit now.
I can't judge. It's such a mess there that on the other end of the spectrum, when you see Justin Fields go to Pittsburgh earlier this year, you think, okay, they will, whatever his ceiling is, they will find it.
Yeah.
And I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers are sitting there thinking they've found their quarterback for the future. No. I don't think the Bears have regret over trading Justin Fields. But I do think the Steelers are getting more out of him than the Bears did. Mm-hmm. The Steelers are bringing out the best in him more than the Bears did. Carolina's at the other end of that scale to the point, Pat. I don't think I can judge anybody on what they're on their time in Carolina.
No.
Whether it's Bryce Young or Frank Reich or whoever was the GM that drafted Bryce Young. Thomas Brown, for example.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can judge anyone on what their time was in Carolina because it is just so dysfunctional. It is so unworkable of a situation down there. So all that being said, the Bears have to beat them. Granted, the Bears are still kind of growing up here with Caleb Williams as their rookie starting quarterback. So I don't think the Bears will blow them out 49-3 or something,
right.
which you saw them do a few years back. They would do to really bad teams when they couldn't beat anybody good.
Right.
But when bad teams came in, like the Mike Glennon Giants or whoever, they would or Houston one of those years, they would just blow them out by 30 points or something. Jacksonville, I think in 2020, they blew out. I don't think this team's blowing anybody out yet,
mm-hmm.
But I see a decisive win for the Bears. I see something like, you know, 26-16.
The Bears have won 7 straight home games, as Mark Potash wrote in the Sun Times on Tuesday. A lot of those games have been against bad teams. But
Atlanta and Arizona at the end of last year.
Yeah, but yeah, they should, you know, them taking care of business is different than what they've been doing before, which is not. Jason, when we look back at this Caleb Williams trade, it has the potential to be, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic, the greatest trade ever made in the history of the NFL. It has a chance. And, you know, when you look at who the Bears have gotten as a result of it, it's not just Caleb Williams, it's not just DJ Moore, it's Darnell Wright, it's Torrey Taylor, who was the special teamer of the week in the NFC this week. It is a pick that, if the season were to end today, would be in the top 5 in the second round in this upcoming draft.
Tyreek Stevenson,
who is, I think, a really good player who is made all that much better by the fact that nobody's going to throw at Jalen Johnson. That's a pretty good starting point for a roster that was, you know, in the middle of a rebuild when that trade was made.
I think Matt Eberflus hit this on the head Wednesday, and Ryan Poles has said something similar. They got very fortunate in that trade. There were things about that trade that worked in their favor that they did not determine, that they could not have made happen. But they made really good decisions. They were really prepared for that good fortune and made really good decisions with that. I think that drafting Darnell Wright was a really good move for them, and that's going to be a fixture on their offensive line, either at left tackle or right tackle. DJ Moore was their best player the day he showed up. First time we saw him practice, we could see it.
Yeah,
he was their best player. He might still be their best player, Patrick. I don't know. And Stevenson is an NFL starter. You luck into Carolina gives you the first pick of the draft in a really good year for quarterbacks, where I think it was a draft in which the Bears probably had 3 or 4 guys that would have been worth moving on from Justin Fields for, and they have top pick of all those. I mean, it's huge to bring a highly, highly touted prospect at quarterback in at just the right time when your rebuild is kind of coming to the end and you're pretty well built out other than that position is incredible timing for the Bears. And the Panthers throughout that have just continued to spiral.
And, you know, when they say that there was some fortune involved, they're right. And they're also, I think, Matt Eberflus is at least being pretty gracious about the thing. You're not going to sit in front of a media room and say, can you believe the Panthers gave up what they gave up? That's crazy. But, you know, it took a lot of guts for Ryan Poles to make that trade. Going from 1-9, nobody had ever fallen that far in a trade out of the number one overall pick. To sit there and look at Justin Fields and say, you know what, we're going to give him another year and see what we've got. I think I thought that was the most obvious of the moves. I remember talking to you guys the second he got done saying that and sitting there thinking, oh, they're going to keep Justin, and they wound up doing it. But to trade in a shiny new toy at quarterback, whether it would have been, you know, Bryce Young or CJ Stroud or whoever, for a right tackle and, you know, DJ Moore, who was probably underrated but still not, when he came over here, considered a top 15 or 20, maybe top 20 wide receiver in the game, maybe. It took a lot of guts to do that. I mean, they got it. We can sit here now and go look at all the stuff they got. That, you know, that's also a good way to get fired if it goes the wrong way. And the Bears are really, they may be fortunate it didn't go the wrong way, but fortune kind of favors the bold, as the old crypto commercial went before everybody went broke on crypto.
The trade also fits in with what has been, at times, kind of a frustratingly conservative approach to roster building by Ryan Poles, but very restrained, very disciplined would be his word, to where you have a Bears team now that is off to a choppy start, but you feel good about where they're at. You feel good about this roster. This should still be a playoff roster. And you have not only not mortgaged your future to do it, the way the Bears mortgaged their future to go 8-8 and 6-11 in the last few years of the Pace administration, but you are really well set up going forward. You have a lot of good financial flexibility. Guys, you know, you could get rid of Nate Davis if you need to. You can be, you know, if DeAndre Swift doesn't work out, you can be out of that after 2 years. You have not overpaid for anybody, really. I don't think there's a bad contract on their roster, including DJ Moore, who they extended this year with 2 years left in order to get him at a reasonable price before the wide receiver market continues to explode. And then you have this extra second-round pick. They have a first and 2 seconds. I mean, those are three starters.
Yep.
Those are three day one starters. You can fix your interior offensive line with those 2 second-round picks.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah, it's they're really well set up. The other thing that I think is worth mentioning, even though it's unrelated to this trade, is, you know, before he did that, Ryan Poles thought he had his receiver locked up when he traded for Chase Claypool. And he gave up a second-round pick that wound up being the first pick of the second round. It would have been very easy for the Bears to do what we've seen some teams do here and what may be done with Devontae Adams here this week, is you trade for a receiver and as a show of goodwill, you give him a new contract, which the Bears very easily could have done.
With Claypool?
With Claypool, right away.
Yeah.
And Claypool came in and was such a disaster so quickly that the Bears didn't. And all of a sudden weren't married, not only financially to him, but married to getting it right with him. They weren't putting the square peg in the round hole the way maybe they've done with Nate Davis this year, where you sit there and you go, it's not working. And they go, well, we're going to keep trying. With Claypool, they could get out. They could recognize their mistake, get out, and live to see another day and keep that sort of flexibility. Not every trade Ryan Poles has made has been good. But I think the way he kind of took his losses and moved on from the Chase Claypool trade is pretty commendable. Not on par with swinging a great trade, but still something that not a lot of GMs would have done.
Yeah, you're right. That's one of the things you look for that gives you confidence that this GM would be the right guy going forward, is you want someone who the majority of their moves work out,
right?
Which I would say has been true of him so far. You want someone that can correct mistakes, which they did with the Claypool thing by trading for Keenan Allen and drafting Rome Odunze. All of a sudden, this wide receiver room with only DJ Moore. DJ Moore is the only holdover.
Mm-hmm. It's
looking pretty good. And you want someone that's going to have clear eyes about players they have an attachment to one way or another.
Right.
Whether it's because they really like the guy or because they put their reputation on the line drafting somebody in a certain spot or giving up a very valuable draft pick for Chase Claypool or spending on PJ Walker like they did, the backup quarterback they cut last year. Those are all really good signs. Pat, pivoting to the game itself, while I'm sure we both expect the Bears to take care of the Panthers at home, this will be arguably the easiest game they'll have all year, the easiest matchup on paper.
On paper.
They'll have all year. You still need to see some things as in terms of progress, and it always starts with Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb Williams, I thought, in the Rams game, did so well at one of the building blocks of becoming an NFL quarterback,
mm-hmm.
of managing that short-range passing game underneath, 0 to 10 yards past the line of scrimmage, screens, slants, all the quick stuff. He was 15 of 15, and they averaged 8.4 yards per play on those passes. Whereas the week before, I think it was down around maybe 5 yards
mm-hmm.
or something, because he was only at about 80% completions in that range and threw an interception in there. That's great. No turnovers. That's great. Those are just building blocks, though.
No sacks, which is important too. Or one sack.
I think he had a few sacks, but I don't remember.
But throwing a short pass means you're not getting sacked.
Usually means you're not getting hit. He talked about that on Wednesday. No turnovers and mastering the short game. Those are building blocks. Those are important. It can't be just that, though.
Right.
A lot of guys can do that. In fact, Andy Dalton is a guy that can do that this week. Mm-hmm. You're looking for him now to continue to master that. Like, turnovers are going to happen. Just make sure they're not because you're oblivious to something that's going on in the pocket or just a really flagrantly bad decision mm-hmm. trying to throw across your body or lofting it out into the flats or something like that. You want to see him start to work that intermediate game
mm-hmm.
and then get hit on a couple of shots. I think that, to me, would be my outline that I want to see Caleb Williams fill in on Sunday.
You know, in weeks 2 and 3, we saw him hit Rome Odunze deep, and that was amid a really bad offensive showing, at least on I think week 3. So, you know, it's there. And DJ Moore lined up, you know, at the end of the first half, and DJ running, you know, a route that kind of bowed out a little bit more than Caleb thought it would. You know, that would have been the shot there. You know, I think it's a great sign, as do you, that he is taking what's there. And, you know, I've heard people talk about how, you know, the Bears focusing on, hey, don't turn the ball over, about how that might hurt him. Like, no, that's how you win games in the NFL. Like, go look at, you know, what happens when you have fewer turnovers than everybody else. And Matt Eberflus, what's his winning percentage since the start of last year when they turned the ball over fewer times? It's like, I think it's 7-2, something like that. That is a way to win, and that's also a way to learn how to play in the NFL. And now, part of, you know, what's baked into taking a shot is, you know, it can go poorly. But, you know, to be judicious with that, I don't think is limiting at all. I think it's actually the smart way to do it, especially if it's winning you games. If he's checking down and again they lose by 10 points, that's a different conversation. You know, in fact, you know, against the Colts in the fourth quarter, he kind of had to push it down the field and seemed to do a better job of that.
The instruction manual, if there is one, for throwing for 300 yards, a good 300 yards, is probably 20 passes that are short to medium range and maybe 3 to 5 deep ones.
Well, and if the Bears were so proud of all of the pieces that they gave Caleb Williams this offseason, whether it's Keenan Allen, whether it's bringing back T.J. Moore at that extension, you're adding Gerald Everett to Cole Kmet, you're bringing in DeAndre Swift, the Bears would tell anybody who would listen for 6 months that we're putting him in a great position because we've got all this skill around him. Okay, great. Give him the ball 5 yards out and see what they can do. I mean, that is playing point guard, and that is a great way to ease him into the NFL. And he was talking even today about how, you know, he hadn't played since November 19th of last year. You know, that in many ways, part of the reason he seems more comfortable is just he's in the rhythm of being a football player. Mm-hmm. And that's something that he hadn't felt in a long time.
I think I would agree with the Bears fans that are bristling at them saying, well, just don't commit turnovers, if that's what they were really saying.
Yeah.
If that's all they were saying, is, right. Hey, Caleb, just go, you know, 15 for 15 on the right. 0 to 10 yards and don't commit any turnovers. If that should be something they are saying to him.
Right.
That is good. Right. That should never be the only thing they're saying to him, and I don't think it is.
Well, and they're not saying we're handing the ball off 50 times because we don't want him turning the ball over.
Right.
Like, they're throwing a lot. But, you know, going into week three, and this is my argument against people who thought that he was being limited, going into week three, he had the most pass attempts of any quarterback in the NFL. Like, he's not being limited.
I don't remember the exact number, but I thought maybe he got sacked 3 times in the Rams game. So it would be in 26 dropbacks total. That sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
That's half of what it was, or less than half, actually, of what it was the week before against the Colts. One of my favorite things, though, that I've heard in Hallis Hall this season was Thomas Brown, the passing game coordinator, mm-hmm. saying something to the effect of, well, if you just play it safe and you never take any chances, you're never going to make any plays.
Right.
Like, you have to do that too. But I think if you watch Caleb Williams' highlight film, you go on YouTube and search it, and by the way, you will have fun.
Yeah, I've
like,
that.
It's
yeah.
fun. It's really fun. But it's not how 80% of the job goes in the NFL. It's a lot of underneath, and the next level of that is turning the intermediate range into sort of the getting that close to the efficiency that you have in short range.
Sure.
Being able to pick apart and take advantage of that 10, 15, 20-yard pass the way that you're taking advantage of the 5 to 10-yard pass, that's an evolution that really great quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes take. And then, you know, when you get the good shots, when you see Rome Odunze's got somebody beat, you can take advantage of that speed. When you see DJ Moore for an opportunity, you know, you hit those. That rolls up to being a star quarterback. Caleb Williams isn't there.
No.
Caleb Williams is putting some pieces of the foundation in place, and the underneath game and no turnovers, that's definitely part of that.
And if he can master deeper stuff, shoot, if he can master it by the end of next season, I think that's a good sign. But boy, you'd like to see progress. You'd like to see progress before it gets cold here. You'd like to see progress while he can still feel his fingers when he's playing. And, you know, that's here in the next month or 6 weeks. And luckily the Bears are playing some defenses that will allow for deep shots like that. Jason, we will be back after Sunday's game to break down the Panthers. We don't have everybody's pick quite yet, but I think I've got the Bears by 10.
Same, 26-16, I think, is what I'm going with.
26-16, and we do have a pick from Mark Potash. Is that worth...
We do?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And I'm only, I realize this is great pod right now.
My favorite thing about the Potsy pick is always the double back to hedge. And then, you know, any given time that we tell you what he picked on this podcast, it could change between the time we say it into this microphone and the time you hear it on iTunes or whatever.
Potsy, 31-17 Bears.
Okay.
Rick Morrissey, 27-16 Bears, so another so an 11-point game.
It's that there's that hesitance of, like, you think this team is probably 30 points better than the Panthers, but then you're like, I don't know if the Bears are 30 points better than anybody.
Scoop Jackson, Bears by three.
That's the most daring pick
so far.
Because that would mean Carolina covers.
Yeah, right? That's daring. Although, you know, we haven't seen Rick Tellender's pick yet. Those are always. do you know what is the point spread? Do you know off the top of your head?
Last I saw, it was Bears by four, which felt low. So I'm sure the Chicago bettors will
get it up to five.
Push that a little farther. It is interesting, Patrick. Too. It's not like profound. This is not. You don't need to. If you're out driving on I-90 right now, you don't need to pull over to listen to this part. But they're facing Andy Dalton, the former Bears quarterback. And when I say former, it was very brief. It was very ham-handed by Matt Nagy and Ryan Poles. That's the thing that people don't talk about as much with Ryan Poles, was not only were his draft picks pretty rough at quarterback, all of his outside solutions to that problem.
Right.
When Andy Dalton, Nick Foles, trying to give up everything that he had for Russell Wilson, all bad ideas.
And the other thing that came up this week was Tom Brady saying that he gave the Bears some pretty serious consideration. That would have been a better choice than Nick Foles, by the way. But there's no telling whether the Bears would have put their stink on.
Brady was wise to steer clear. The defense was pretty good at that time. That's probably what he liked, is a winnable division and a really good defense. But here's the thing about Andy Dalton. When we were watching last week, Matt Stafford is much, much better than Andy Dalton. But Matt Stafford is getting toward the end of his career. When when you give him time, he sits back there. And even with those really good Bears corners, Matt Stafford picked him apart. His interceptions were not on plays where he was his interception that counted and the one that didn't count were not on plays where he was standing back there with all the time in the world. Joe Flacco did it to him last year. Andy Dalton will do it to them on Sunday. If you give him time, I don't know how much of it he can do, and I don't think they're going to give him time very often, but if you don't get your pass rush going, any veteran quarterback will find the open guy if he can sit back there for 4 seconds.
Yeah, it's so different to watch a veteran come in and know where the ball is going as opposed to some of these second-year players that we saw earlier. Remember, too, the Matt Eberflus defense is built to not give up deep shots. In a lot of ways, they'll live with, okay, you can throw 11 yards to the tight end, like, all right, fine. The Bears defense in the red zone on Sunday was really, really good. I think you hope that it doesn't come down to that, but that's where they made their money. And my God, if you need a goal line stand to beat Andy Dalton, maybe that's a problem. But, I don't know. I still think this defense is probably top 10 as we sit here right now. And if they are as good as they tell us they are, then Andy Dalton probably won't be able to do what Matthew Stafford did.
A brief history lesson on Andy Dalton, by the way.
Yeah.
No one wants to remember this history. It's not glorious history, but the Bears had to promise him the starting job to keep him from the 49ers in free agency.
Right.
Terrible idea. Well, then they draft a quarterback high from a major program and slow play him as though it's going to be a redshirt year. That's how they actually described it to us. Then they end up having to play him both. Andy Dalton gets hurt in the second game, so they end up playing him. But do you remember Andy Dalton's Bears debut, which was also Justin Fields' NFL debut, because Justin Fields played as a gimmick quarterback in that game LA.
Yeah.
And you had Andy Dalton in on first down, Justin Fields in on second down,
right.
Andy Dalton comes back in on 3rd and 14 or whatever, cold from the bench. Hey, right. Andy, save us.
Right.
Matt Nagy afterward being asked, hey, do you think that might not be good for Andy Dalton? Yeah. I don't know. We'll have to look at that.
Well, I remember coming home to face the Panthers, I believe. Was that game two?
Game two was the Bengals.
The Bengals. I'm sorry. He's playing the Bengals, and the Bears receive to start the game. And I remember turning to you and going, oh, my God, if they punt, Andy Dalton's going to get booed. And Andy Dalton's going to get booed every time he runs back out on the field until Justin Fields shows up. As it turns out, they march and score easily. Then on the second, I believe the second possession, or toward the end of the first quarter at least, Dalton running out of bounds has a bone, or has a bone bruise happened to his knee, and it becomes a moot point the rest of the season. Yeah, just a bizarre situation for everybody. The Bears probably shouldn't have offered him the starting job. The Bears probably also didn't think that drafting 19th that they'd have a chance at one of the five quarterbacks in the draft. And it worked out. And by worked out, I mean it didn't work out at all.
It's one of the many things that worked against Justin Fields in his time here. And I think that they made the right move but to offload Justin Fields. But if Justin Fields wanted to make a list of complaints about how they held him back here, this would be one. Because it wasn't just that Justin Fields didn't start the first two games. It was that Andy Dalton got all the first team reps the whole offseason when Justin Fields could have really used those to get off to a good start in his career, Pat. And Andy Dalton played as an interesting part in recent Bears history.
That's also why it was pretty amazing that when Matt Eberflus in May was asked, so is Caleb your starter? His answer was, well, yeah.
Didn't even need to be asked.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Yeah, so anyway, we will have the full breakdown of Bears-Panthers. And then next week, Jason, we will be doing it from across the pond in London. So get your phony accent ready, and maybe we'll do a whole podcast speaking in some weird Cockney accent.
I don't think we should do that.
Okay. Maybe we won't. We'll figure it out. Anyway, he's Jason, I'm Pat. Thanks for listening. We'll be back again real soon.